Today, on Easter Sunday, on the Travel Guys.
In the news, the airlines get taken out behind the woodshed by the Department of Transportation, and it's good news for you.
At 2:15, we celebrate Easter with a trip to the Holy Land with our old friend Wayne Setness.
At the bottom of the hour, consumer reporter Ed Perkins joins us with an update on using your credit cards overseas, along with a host of tips on how to avoid getting taken to the travel cleaners.
And finally, on our entertainment segment, we feature a modern-day road warrior in search of the mostly unknown.
Happy Easter. Easter to everyone. It's Easter Sunday, and you're with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Welcome, everyone, and a happy Easter. Welcome to the Travel Guys and Entertainment here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. It is such a pleasure that you bring us into your home or your car or wherever you are on this wonderful day. Mark Kaufman from Sports Leisure Vacations across the way from me. I'm Tom Romano, and thanks again for taking us along. Mark?
Yeah, nice to have you all here on an Easter Sunday. We have a great program for you. We have a special trip to the Holy Land coming up. First today, our reporter, consumer reporter Ed Perkins is here with some great tips on how to not get taken to the travel cleaners, as we were saying before. And then a really interesting guy at 2:45 that I think you're really going to enjoy meeting, a gentleman who goes out on the road on his motorcycle in search of the mostly unknown.
You know, in the everyday news all week long, it's been a very busy week for travelers and a lot of things going on having to do with travel. But here we go. Mark Kaufman, ladies and gentlemen, along with the Mark Kaufman Trio playing in the background with today's travel news. Mark?
All right. One airline is turning to kung fu to thwart unruly flyers. Hong Kong Airlines is asking its flight crews to learn a form of kung fu, something the carrier hopes will help its staff deal with drunk and unruly passengers. So all staff have been invited to undergo training in Wing Chun, hope I'm saying that right, a form of kung fu used in close-range combat.
Now, is there any, you know, the fact that it has the word wing,
and
it have anything
maybe
to do
somebody
with
out there may know a little bit more. Yeah, wing, cute. The airline deals with about 3 disruptive passengers a week, according to Hong Kong Airlines spokeswoman Eva Chan. She says the benefits of adding martial arts training came into focus 2 weeks ago after a flight attendant used her previous training to help resolve an incident on a Beijing to Hong Kong flight. So now you not only have to worry about your fellow passengers, but you have to worry about whether or not the flight attendant thinks you're a little bit out of line.
Getting wing food.
Wing food. Have you ever been to LA Live? The big complex down at the convention center in downtown Los Angeles where the Staples Center is?
I haven't.
You have not. Well, they have a big complex in downtown Los Angeles, entertainment complex, where the Staples Center, restaurants, hotels, etc. They are adding 2 more hotels, a Courtyard by Marriott and a Residence Inn. There's already a J.W. Marriott and a Ritz-Carlton there, along with a wonderful Lowry's sandwich shop and a lot of neat places. So if you're ever in downtown Los Angeles, I recommend it. All right, the big news this week, the Department of Transportation made giant steps for consumers when they announced sweeping changes in the way airlines must do business. Now, I know we have people in the audience who don't like government regulation, but in this case, folks, the inmates were and still pretty much are in running the asylum. Here's a breakdown of what has truly changed and how, and if for a complete list, and if you want to read the whole 213-page report, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we have a link right there for you. First of all, we had hoped that airlines were going to be responsible for refunding bag fees when bags were delayed.
Yes, we were.
That is not the case.
Not happening.
The rule stipulates that bags that are lost have to be refunded, not delayed. That the DOT decided to exclude delayed bags from this provision is probably the most disappointing aspect, I would say, of the rules. Bag fees ostensibly cover the shipping cost of your luggage. In other retail situations, customers with delayed shipments are often compensated with refunds or vouchers or some way to make it right, but that's not what's going to happen here. The worst thing is that the definition of lost is somewhat ambiguous and presumably left to the airline's discretion. And so if it takes days or weeks for the airline to decide that your bag is lost, you're not going to get your fee back until then. So I would say that is a victory for the airlines, probably.
So you get your fee back, but whatever the value of what was in that luggage that was lost?
Well, there's a separate set of rules that covers that.
Okay.
We're just talking about the bag fees here. But basically what it means is that if the airline charges you a bag fee and your bag doesn't show up at the other end, they can say, well, you know, sorry, your bag didn't show up at the other end. It'll be here in a couple of days. But some of the good things that did come out of this, full fare advertising. Advertised fares will include all mandatory taxes and fees, meaning the price you see is the price you'll pay prior to tacking on, you know, optional fees like bags or where you are in the boarding process or something. This rule applies to any ticket seller, whether it's the airline or an online travel agent or a human travel agent. So if you're buying from Expedia or Orbitz or something like that, travel agents will also have to disclose bag fee information before and after the consumer purchases their ticket. I assume that refers to online situations.
Right.
Airlines now have to post bag fee changes on their home pages for 3 months before the changes take place. So they can, next week we're raising the bag fees. They have to have a web page on their website for all their ancillary fees. So all of that stuff has to be posted in one place so that people can see it all at once, what all of the charges might be. The compensation for getting bumped from a flight has been dramatically changed. It is now, without going into great detail, the minimums have increased boarding compensation limits to $650 for short flights or $1,300 for longer flights, or 200 or 400% of the one-way airfare. So there's, again, a process for figuring all of that out. But the bottom line is it's twice what it was before.
Ben, the blogger, must be going nuts.
Oh, Ben must be absolutely. That's a very valid. We got to get Ben on the program next week.
We may not be able to get him. He'll be too busy collecting.
He's probably
400%.
And then here is the other big one. The tarmac delay rules have been extended to international carriers. As you know, last year a rule was put into place that you couldn't sit on the tarmac for more than 3 hours without going back to the gate, or the airlines would get huge fines. They all screamed and said it would change air travel forever, and flights would get canceled all over, except that's not what happened. What happened was that last year was the second worst winter in the recorded history in the northeast part of the country.
Yeah.
Last year was the second lowest level of flight cancellations in recorded history. So what happened, what the airlines told us was going to happen with that rule of having to leave the tarmac, it didn't happen. So it's not going to happen with international carriers either. They get 4 hours instead of three. There are a lot of other small changes. A lot of these have to do with communicating with you at the boarding gate and on its website and allowing passengers to hold a reservation for 24 hours without payment and cancel the reservation without penalty. That's not the case on most airline websites right now. There are a lot of little things we won't go into in great detail here, but most of the fine print and the detail is to the advantage of the consumer. So the Department of Transportation here really did a good job, I think. And just like any labor negotiation, I guess the consumer didn't get everything that we wanted, but the consumer got a lot. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the travel news. For more details on all of that Department of Transportation stuff, remember, go to travelguysradio.com and you can see the whole report.
Special Easter program today. We're going to be visiting the Holy Land. And as we mentioned towards the end of the program today, we're going to be going to following a guy who goes to places, well, pretty much that are weird and unknown. It's all coming up right here on The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. You're listening to The Travel and Entertainment Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations' Mark Hoffman. And our next guest, well, just down the street from where I was born and raised, Modesto, and not too far here from Sacramento, Stockton, California. Mark Hoffman, please introduce Wayne.
Wayne from Setness Tours is with us. You will remember Wayne if you're a Travel Guys listener. Wayne has regaled us in the past, a couple months ago, was a guest after he had taken a group to Dubai. And we found that to be kind of fascinating, particularly with things that were going on in the Middle East. And Wayne has not slowed down his travels, and he has been someplace that we thought would be particularly appropriate to talk about today, being as it's Easter Sunday. Wayne, first of all, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
And how are things at Setness Tours in Stockton?
Actually going very well. 2011 looks like it's going to be a great travel year.
Very good.
I'm very, very happy to hear that. Friendly competitors down the road. Wayne, I know that you took a group to the Holy Land just recently here, just a matter of weeks ago, after things had kind of started to become a problem already in Egypt. So congratulations to you. Your folks weren't a little squeamish about going to the Holy Land to...
Well, at first, you know, of course, with the Egypt uprisings and things, people were a little apprehensive, but if you're going to travel, you better do it when you have the opportunity, because you never know when it's going to arise again.
Yeah, that's very true. So you had a safe trip, obviously. You've returned home safely. I've always heard that Jerusalem is the center of the Holy Land. Is that really true?
Yes, it is. With any trip to Israel, of course, you go in to Tel Aviv, you circle the country, and then you finish up in Jerusalem, which is a fantastic city, very diverse, and it's really the highlight of any trip.
Now, in terms of accommodations and stuff in the Holy Land, did you stay in American-branded hotels? Were they local hotels?
Well, actually, they were all Israeli-run hotels. And what I really found fascinating about the country, I don't think I've ever felt more safe traveling than I did within Israel itself.
Why would you say that?
Well, what it is, of course, the security there is extremely tight. And we had a Israeli guide who is a former Israeli officer, a colonel in the military for the past 25 years. And a woman can go on the streets at 2 a.m., be totally safe.
Wow, that's very interesting. So from Jerusalem, you mentioned some other spots. Did you get to Bethlehem?
Yes, we did. What is sort of interesting is Jerusalem is a city that is very diverse. You have the Palestinians there, and you have Muslims, you have Christians, and then you have the Jews. And Bethlehem is actually in an area that's in the Palestinian territories. And, of course, the Israelis back in 2004 built a security barrier between the Israeli territories and the Palestinian territories. So you must go through a security barrier there, which is a 35-foot concrete wall.
Wow.
And what it is, you go through security that's very similar to airport security.
Okay. So now do you have to do this several times a day, or is your itinerary arranged that you just have to – so this inconvenience is just occasional?
Well, actually, we only did it once, because with the trip, we started actually in Tel Aviv, went up to Haifa, the Sea of Galilee, the Golan Heights, and then finished up in Jerusalem. And the only time we actually crossed a barrier was into Bethlehem.
Is it really commercialized, or is it, is it really feel like Bethlehem, away in a manger, the...
It's not commercialized. I felt that the whole area wasn't commercialized at all. They have restored these holy sites to pristine condition. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the highlights for a lot of people is the Church of the Resurrection, which is the Church of the Sepulchre, which is where Christ was actually crucified. And then... And then they brought him down off of the site of the Calvary for the resurrection.
Is really the heart of Christianity here that your folks were experiencing.
Well, yes, it is. And what is interesting is a lot of people don't know what the old town of Jerusalem is actually not that big. It is a walled city, and the site of the crucifixion is, and then where he was taken off of the cross, is actually a very small area. When you see movies, you see Christ dragging the cross, it seems like miles and miles.
Mm-hmm.
It all happened within like a 20-yard radius. So it's a really very small area where it occurred.
Well, you know, Hollywood always makes changes a little bit. Wayne, before we go, let me ask you, what was your most lasting impression of visiting that area? Because I, as someone who hasn't been there, it tugs at me from time to time the desire to be in the unknown, but I'm a little skittish about it. So convince me that I should make a trip to the Holy Land.
Well, actually, talking to both the Israelis and the Palestinians, because we also had local Palestinian guides, everybody there wants peace, because everything comes down to everybody wants to make a living. They want to put food on the table, a roof over their head. So the Israelis want peace, the Palestinians want peace, and I think we are headed that way. And I think within the next couple of years, the Middle East will calm down, and people will actually feel better about going there. But I, for a first-time traveler or a seasoned traveler, Israel is extremely safe for tourists. And I felt very secure.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for the trip today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
On Easter Sunday through the Holy Land, you really have given a wonderful description of
fabulous.
Yeah, of how to see it. We will have Setna's Tours website. You can go to Travel Guys Radio if you'd like to know a little bit more. If you live in the Stockton area, and especially if you're a mature traveler and you are looking for a travel company, you could do yourself well. SetnasTours.com or go to Travel Guys Radio and we'll fix you up. Wayne, thank you, and we'll look forward to talking to you after you get back from Italy, my friend.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me.
All right. Wayne Setna's from Setna's Tours with us on the Travel Guys.
And coming up after we check out the news at the bottom of the hour, we're going to check in with Ed Perkins. Ed's going to go ahead and tell us a little bit about security and special credit cards.
And you know that
stuff.
Thing we've talked about for, gosh, since we went on the air about how credit cards overseas are not responding to the magnetic strip, and finally banks in the U.S. have got a solution, and Ed's going to update us on that.
All that and more coming up on The Travel Guide.
Those of you who have listened to the Travel Guys for a while know I have some destinations that are very near and dear to me. One of those is Hawaii. This October, I'll have the opportunity to take a very select group of 20 travelers to Hawaii to see three islands. We're going to Kauai, Oahu, and the Big Island of Hawaii. We're going to spend our nights in incredible Marriott resorts, upscale deluxe accommodations. We're going to go see some of the things that folks don't normally see on a visit to Hawaii. Do you know how chocolate is grown? Have you ever been to a chocolate farm? Maybe a mushroom farm. Have you ever held a live seahorse, had it wrapped around your finger? These are some of the things that we're going to do during our stay in Hawaii. If it sounds interesting to you, maybe you've been to the islands before, you've done all the normal things, but you'd really like to discover the islands of Hawaii. We're going, leaving the 29th of October. You can get more information. Visit us on the web at sportsleisure.com or give me a call at the Sports Leisure Vacations office on Monday at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. And join us in the islands this October.
Welcome back. This is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. A good Easter Sunday to you. Mark, we've had this guest on once before, and it was extremely interesting. Go ahead and introduce Ed for me, would you?
Ed Perkins is a consumer reporter, has been for years and years and years, a consumer travel reporter who covers the things that are really important to people, things that really matter when you get out there on the road. And Ed is with us again today. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you for joining us to share some information with us today. I'm going to jump right in here because we have a lot of stuff to cover. Ed, for a couple of times we've talked with our listeners here about the dilemma of traveling overseas and the fact that credit card companies have come up with a new system for swiping, if you will, credit cards overseas, which is a different system than what we have here in the United States with the magnetic strip. It was starting to cause some problems for people, and you have an update on what American banks are doing about that situation.
Yes, I do. Finally, the logjam seems to be breaking. Wells Fargo just last week announced that it was starting to issue what these new cards called chip and PIN cards to a test market of people it knows use cards overseas quite a bit. And then the next day, Chase announced it was going to start making those cards available to its cardholders, starting with its ultra-premium card, but ultimately extending to other card brands that it issues. And then finally, just yesterday, I heard from Citibank that they, in fact, have been doing a little bit of very low-level testing here in the U.S., and kind of stay tuned, because they're probably going to make an official announcement within the next few days.
So after insisting for a year, or maybe perhaps a little longer, that, you know, this is just the way it's going to be and they're going to be two systems, they have figured out that indeed the system that is being employed overseas is perhaps the better system.
Well, yeah. I mean, in a way, if the U.S. didn't do something about it, we'd be like we are with the metric system, out of step with the rest of the world.
It would pose a bit of a problem for international travelers. So if right now this is kind of in a beta test situation, what do we tell people who are going overseas this summer? There still is the possibility that they could get to a small merchant someplace who might not have that technology, or what we've told people is you could go into a store and somebody might say, gee, you know, we don't take that card, or that card doesn't work, and you would have to explain to them that they have to run the metal strip through, or the magnetic strip through.
Yeah, that's right. The serious problem comes when the only way you can buy something is with a credit card, as in many small railroad stations or vending machines for transit tickets or highway toll booths and bridge toll booths and unattended 24/7 gas stations and so on. Where there isn't a merchant, where there's no attendant, you either have the right card or you don't get it. And these are the real tough situations. Now,
so the good news is that there's going to be that progress is coming. The bad news is that it isn't here yet. So you still, if you're wandering around in Europe, you've still got to carry a few shekels in your pocket of the euro or the local currency to be able to buy that odd train ticket.
Well, some of them don't even take currency.
Right, so you were saying that some won't even take the currency of that country.
What you can do, if you're really worried about this, what you can do for now, this year, is buy a front-loaded debit card from Travelex, which is a big foreign exchange company. And they are issuing chip and pin cards in either euros or pounds sterling so that you can actually use them. Now, the problem with Travelex is that they give you a lousy exchange rate, but maybe having a lousy exchange rate is better than not being able to travel at all.
Well, that's it. If you need the $6 train ticket, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you can't buy it, it doesn't matter how much it costs. You know, you can't get from point A to point B.
If you wind up paying $7 for it instead of $6, at least you get it. For now, you cannot buy that Travelex card online. You can only get it at a retail location, and the website does have a real retail location locator.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you. You wrote about a column on Smarter Travel about travel scams, and I thought once again that you'd kind of hit things on the money here. You talked about five examples of situations that, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is type things. The first one was never believe anybody who calls you to tell you you've won something on the phone.
That's right. I mean, unless it's from some kind of operation where you know you entered a sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
The chances, as I said in the story, of actually losing out on a legitimate deal are just essentially zero. You don't win anything out of the blue. I mean, it's no better than these emails from Nigeria that tell you you're going to win $10 million. All you have to do is send us something.
Let's tell people that we're talking with Ed Perkins, who is our consumer reporter here on the Travel Guys this afternoon, and we're talking about travel scams. Ed, the next one on your list is really related to the first one, is that never believe a free travel offer claiming all you have to pay is taxes or handling fees or some other charge.
That's right. I mean, some of them are legitimate only in the sense that if you do actually pay all the extra fees and so on, you will get something. But the fact is that those fees and charges are inflated enough to pay for what it is you really get, which is usually a very low-end accommodation, you know, the Roach Motel. If they say this is free, all you have to do is pay the taxes. You say, you know, sorry, it's just another, it's a typical scam at best. At worst, you don't get anything. But even if you do, you'll be paying for it.
Okay, and how about accepting a phone call offer claiming that, well, if you don't buy right now, we can't repeat this offer. That's my favorite one. I love that when I go into to buy cars and they say, well, you know, this offer is going to only last till the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so what do they say, Ed?
Well, and I was just going to say, it's always, well, this is such a good deal. We can't hold it open. If you don't buy it right now, well, we've got zillions of other people that want to buy it. And, of course, that's pure BS, and it's not confined to travel by any means. As you say, it happens with cars or with all kinds of stuff. But, again, that's not a legitimate marketing ploy for anybody. It's pressure. They want you to buy something without really taking a hard look at it and just say no. I mean, it's crazy.
Now, the next one on your list talks about credit, giving out your credit card number, and this one is really very critical.
Yes, it is. And as your listeners probably know, it's getting pretty sophisticated. It's sort of the telephone equivalent of phishing by email. And how many times have you guys, or certainly your listeners, received these emails that look like they're coming from somebody legitimate? And says, you know, we need to update your account information or something. And it's from, ostensibly, it's from somebody that you actually have an account with.
Or at least it appears to be.
It appears to be, yeah. But it actually, of course, it's a phony web address, or actually I'm sure it gets bounced around to a few different places. But all they're looking for is to get that credit card and social number. And you know, your account is toast. You can with many credit cards, you can often get it back ultimately, but it's a major hassle, and you just don't do that. Even if I get something, for example, in the email from that looks like it's from my bank, I never answer it. Instead, I log myself onto my bank's website to see, is this really going on?
And there are some folks in the electronic world, my guy included, who tells me never put a credit card number in an email, because there are devices that are able to look for,
yep,
particularly if you space them in the 16 digits and stuff in the email, and that folks those can be picked up. Ed, one more that's on your list here. You talk about the importance of doing your homework when you're buying something from an unknown source, and you mentioned the Better Business Bureau, and I'm a big advocate of this. Explain.
Anytime you see an offer from somebody that you don't know, why, it makes a great deal of sense to check them out, see what the world has to say about them. You can try the Better Business Bureau. There are a number of what I call gripe sites that deal specifically with, a lot of them deal mainly with travel. A lot of them deal with just about anything.
You mean TripAdvisor type sites where people put
TripAdvisor
comments?
Well, TripAdvisor, things like ePinions, My 3 Cents, Ripoff Report, The Squeaky Wheel. There are five or six of them that specialize in posting consumer complaints.
Excellent.
And it's certainly worth your checking it out. And just Google them if you've never heard of them.
But the most important issue is that point here is that if you're buying something from somebody you haven't done business with before, particularly if it's a large sum of dollars, and when it comes to travel, listen, I've been in the travel business for over 30 years, and I'm going to sit right here and tell you that my industry has some dishonest people in it, just like the real estate business has some dishonest people. Lots of honest people, a few who are not. So you've got – if you're buying something for the first time from somebody, and it, you know, travel involves people's dreams. And so just do your homework.
Exactly.
And if nothing more than going to the Better Business Bureau website and seeing if the company's a member and what their history might be, would just that one little simple act might save you a lot of grief. Ed, I thank you so much for all your information you have shared with us today.
Thanks,
we have
Ed.
Covered a multitude of issues, and everything from credit card issues to travel scams and stuff like that. Thank you for your time, my friend.
Always nice to be with you.
Thanks, Ed. Coming up next on the Travel Guys.
You know how I'm kind of an off-the-beaten-track guy? Well, this guy is kind of a modern-day version of off-the-beaten-track. He joins us next right here on the Travel Guys. So, Tom, here I am inside Holloway Travel Outfitters with the famous John Holloway, who told me you've now been doing this for 33, well, maybe not you, but your family for 33 years.
Yeah. Actually, I've been here 19 years now, but mom and dad, two mom and dad stores started in 1978.
I remember your mother doing packing demonstrations at the SATA Travel Fair, the Sacramento Bee Travel Fair, way back when Sports Leisure was still a baby.
Right, yeah, and people would ooh and ah and stand there and just believe that she could pack all those clothes.
Yeah, and you still do those things from time to time, don't
absolutely.
You?
People are still impressed by that if they haven't seen it before.
Yeah, and you said they just come in the store and they can sign up for things like that. So so for people who haven't been here before, I see you're having the first thing that caught my eye is you're having an Epic underwear sale. I assume Epic is a brand, but it's an Epic underwear sale makes me think that I might be missing something if I...
Well, it's a big deal because it's not the least expensive underwear you've ever seen. But, you know, people come back, they buy one pair of Ex Officio brand underwear because it dries quick. It's a antimicrobial. I always feel funny when I tell people their underwear is antimicrobial. Like, why do I need that? But, you know, it just takes...
Sounds like something you wear if the bed bugs did strike.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so let's come on. Let's walk around the store here a little bit.
Okay.
And so here you've got a big sign, what to wear, fall and winter travel. So these are little tips that people can get just by coming in and walking through the store and
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff here.
It almost looks like we're a clothing store, doesn't it, at first glance?
Well, I mean, you're about half. Well, maybe you're not even half. Well, you're half clothing, and you've got bags and stuff of all kinds. You've got big suitcases, little suitcases. Let's go over here where the accessories are.
Okay.
This kind of looks like the drugstore, except that it's all the little things that you might need. All the little modern conveniences of travel.
Yeah, people come in, they're like, boy, I didn't know I need all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, there are different degrees of necessity for different people going on different journeys. Certainly more demanding journeys that are adventure travel, third world, you're going to need perhaps some more things, maybe like a water purifier.
Is this the counter we find the bed bug things at?
Almost. We're just around the corner.
Well, let's go around the corner.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have... bed bug. We have a choice of flavors for bed bugs. Apparently, they don't like cinnamon and they don't like peppermint. So we have a peppermint bug bed bug treatment or a cinnamon by Rest Easy.
Wow, we're here. We're with all the luggage. Travel Pro, Biggs and Riley. Is that what I have? Biggs and Riley?
Briggs
and Riley.
Yeah,
Briggs and Riley.
It's not the engine, the motor, but it's a heavy duty luggage.
Nice choice of luggage here. And I guess the advantage is that, you know, every time I go to buy luggage, at least before the last time when I came here, it's like, what do I buy? How much do I pay? Do I buy a really expensive bag? Do I buy a really cheap bag? Do I buy an in between bag?
Yeah.
So by coming here, you could give people a little bit of wisdom on what might be the best bag for the amount of travel that they do. I mean, somebody like me who wears out a suitcase every two or three years, no matter what happens.
Right.
By the way, the lifetime bag is holding up pretty well.
We're going on
3 years, and it's holding up remarkably well, considering it's probably got 400,000 miles on it.
Right. Our staff is kind of trained to ask, how often do you travel? We're not going to do anybody a service if they only travel once a year. But somebody like yourself, we give you a bag that has a no-matter-what warranty. They will fix it with Briggs & Riley. Anything that goes wrong with that bag for the life of the bag, Mark,
right,
we're going to keep fixing it.
We're here with John Holloway. We're doing a walkthrough interview at Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue. What's the address here?
1150 Fulton.
1150 Fulton, and we should tell people that you're open 7 days a week.
Yes, we are.
There's no rest for the wicked, or even if people in travel. But just about everything that you could imagine. You know, this would be a wonderful store if you were just preparing for a tour. You've even got, I see a Lonely Planet display over there, so you've even got materials for people who are in the research mode. You've got a map.
Yeah.
There are maps. There's all kinds of stuff here.
And video rental.
And should we mention, for people who can't come into the store, you have a very successful website.
Yeah, packinglight.com. Thanks for mentioning that. You bet. So there are folks in the outlying areas up in the foothills or what have you. They don't want to drive all the way in here or just can't because of the price of gas. They can view almost our entire selection on our website, packinglight.com.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, John,
for the
walk through here. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll come by more often. We're going to have to do a live program of the travel guys here. Have a big party some Sunday afternoon. Tom, too bad you couldn't be here. I'm with John Holloway at Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue.
Welcome, everyone. It is the Travel and Entertainment Radio program here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We're into the last portion of our program, and we've got something really kind of out of the ordinary here.
Well, speaking of travel and speaking of entertainment, and you know how we kind of try to look for people who maybe fill both of those categories at once? I think we have a gentleman like that today. Listeners of the Travel Guys, meet Johnny J., Johnny German, who is joining us today. He goes by the moniker of Oddball Traveler.
And why is that, Johnny?
Well, I'm traveling to some of these oddball places that it takes a certain character to enjoy.
Well, there you go.
And you're traveling by your
motorcycle
method of,
all the way.
So you're out on your bike.
Motorcycle?
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
And Tom, if I'm looking correctly here and I'm seeing a picture of his bike here, it looks like there could be a musical instrument strapped to your back. Is that possible?
That's a guitar. It's a lot of times just me out there, and you have to have a good friend.
I just thought I'd mention that since Tom is an old
guy. I'm looking at this, and I see what you're saying here. This is very cool. It's you're kind of the getaway guy, the Johnny Cash of the motorcycle.
Johnny, what do you do for a living besides ride a motorcycle around the country and take pictures of interesting things?
I found myself here in production trying to make art projects, things like that. I'm a bit of a creator, so I create for a living.
Ah, okay. So this is kind of a hobby? Would that be we talked before we went on the air, and I asked you why you did this, and you said, well, because, you know, these places need the exposure, and they need to, in order to be able to survive on this planet, and it keeps some of the historical perspective and stuff. And being an old road warrior myself, although I travel by motor coach as opposed to motorcycle, and usually have a few more people in tow. But it seems as though what you're doing here and looking, and we should tell folks who are listening, if you go to travelguysradio.com, the link to Johnny's Facebook page is on there, so you can follow along with us and see some of the videos that he has created.
Johnny, go ahead and tell us about some of the places that you've been and what you've discovered. And
well, I'd just like to expose what is so real about these places.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look at them as sideshow attractions. My reaction is you say sideshow like it's a bad thing, and here, there's no uniform-clad 9-to-5ers kind of shoving a bunch of customer service up my cornhole. Here's somebody who decided, you know, that they had a passion for machine guns and made a festival around it so you can come out and shoot any kind of machine gun with some supervision. You know?
Sounds like something like the Barbed Wire Museum that we find along Route 66. Or I see one of your videos here has to do with a guest that we had on the program who has created a site in Las Vegas where big boys can go and play with big toys, called Dig This, where you can go and rent a front loader and spend a couple hours. But the gentleman actually started in Steamboat Springs, and one of your videos is from his original site in Steamboat Springs. Tell us a little.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that spot.
Dig This. Dig This is a great find traveling through Steamboat Springs, Colorado there. The adult sandbox was just immediately something that drew me right in. It was something I've always wanted to do. You see the yellow machines kind of on the side of the road and at construction sites. You never get to drive one. This guy had just the best thing going, all this acreage, boulders, and free rein to really hop in these things. They give you a quick lesson, and you're go. Great experience.
Do you take suggestions on your Facebook from viewers and so forth as to places to go? How do you decide where you're going to go next?
I love suggestions. I love when somebody says, hey, there's a guy out here who's got something going, or some people come check us out. So I'm welcome to suggestions. My criteria, I really like to have the place be open half the year. I like to know that it provides something for everyone. It's not just me. You don't have to be 18 to come do it, you know. So any place where everybody can be involved, come out and have a good time, it lasts in the memory is my criteria.
I'm surprised that, like a PBS or Discovery or something hasn't picked your stuff up, Johnny. It looks like, little three-minute vignettes and such of some very cool stuff. And I have to say your cinematography methods and stuff that you use to present this stuff is pretty dazzling.
Well, thank you. I would happily share this with the world. Should somebody come along and decide to pick me up, I'll do it. But until that happens, I'm just going to run it grassroots and utilize
In the meantime, yes. Johnny, we will, again, if folks go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you're wondering what we're making all the fuss over here. This is really is a visual thing. Johnny goes out on his bike and finds these off-the-beaten-track places and puts them to video. And as Tom mentioned, they're really done quite creatively. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and just scroll down. You'll see the Oddball Traveler, and there's a link there to Johnny's Facebook page. And you can take a look at some of these videos yourself and see this is really a creative man.
Johnny, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Okay, we'll be watching your progress, and sometime you can come to Sacramento and you can film the Oddball Travel Guys radio show.
Yeah, if you get out to California one of these days, why, let us know what you find.
I would love nothing more, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Johnny. Johnny German, the Oddball Traveler. You can pick up on his video work at TravelGuysRadio.com.
As we wrap up our Easter Sunday program here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark, I know we've got a couple of pieces of business.
We have a little bit of odds and ends here to take care of. Members of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, we announce two winners each week, and you win $100 in tour cash. All you have to do is call our office to claim it. Jess Mills and Sue Bell. If you are Jess Mills or Sue Bell and you're a member of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, call our office Monday or Tuesday and claim $100 in tour cash.
Where do we go next week, Mark?
Next week, I think we got to get our blogger Ben on to talk about all these airline rule changes, absolutely for certain. And I thought it would be fun next week to open up the telephones and do a poll, ask folks, what is your favorite airline? And more importantly, what is your least favorite airline and why?
All right, that's next week here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.